Good morning, everybody. Thanks for joining me this morning on Minding Your Health, the show that helps you find ways to take back control in issues regarding your mental and physical health. I'm Roberta Fernandez, a board-certified hypnotist, an NLP master practitioner, and a certified hypnosis instructor at the Fair Hypnosis Center in Eden Prairie. I use hypnosis to help people succeed when nothing else has worked. And I'm so glad to be here with you on Saturday mornings at 10 on AM 950. And especially today, because today is my birthday. And I can't think of a better way to start this day than to spend it with you. Now, you may think that's a little odd, but as I begin the celebration of the last year of my fifth decade on this planet, so do the math, I've been reflecting on a quote from Katrina Mayer, who said, "At the end of the day, the only questions I will ask myself are, did I love enough? Did I laugh enough? And did I make a difference?" I look at this show as a gift, an opportunity to educate about hypnosis and other integrative modalities and address ordinary issues that can help ordinary people like you and me. So, in the spirit of celebration and making a difference, today I'm starting a series on pain and addictions, primarily focusing on prescription pain meds. And today I'm taking your calls. It's just me here in the studio this morning, so call in and keep me company with your questions or comments at 952-946-6205. I'd love to hear from you. And over the next few weeks, I'm going to have some clients of mine, that'll be next week, who have used hypnosis successfully for pain reduction and for pain management. I'll have guests from Hazel and Betty Ford and the Steve Rumler Hope Foundation. And finally, a fellow hypnotist from Florida who works with addictions. So today, we're going to lay the groundwork for all of this, talking about how pain works in your body and the efficacy of hypnosis in pain management. Now, as many of you know, if you've been listening to the show, and if you haven't, by the way, you can find the podcast here on AM 950 Radio or on my online store at my website at fairhypnosis.com. But I became a hypnotist because of personal experience. Hypnosis got me out of severe knee pain, and I used self-hypnosis instead of pain meds after a full bilateral knee replacement. That's having both knees done at the same time. I estimate that I didn't take about 180 pills during my six-week recovery, which is really pretty amazing when you think about it. So let's start with first understanding how pain works in the body. You have about 45 miles of nerves in your body, about 400 individual nerves, and they're all connected kind of like this big superhighway. Pain is 100% produced in your brain, not where your injury is, not where you feel the hurt. That part of the body is just sending messages through receptors that are located in that area through the nerves to your brain. Pain, what we feel or not, is based on your brain's perception of a threat. So let's take an example of what I mean by that. Let's say you're crossing a busy street and you are running to get across and you fall and you sprain your ankle and you sit there and you think, oh my gosh, you know, what's happened? And you look up and there's this big bus coming really fast at you. Your brain is going to perceive that bus as a much bigger threat. And somehow you're going to find a way to get up and get across that street, ankle or not, and get out of the way of the bus. Now, when you get over there and you catch your breath, you're going to find that your ankle probably starts to hurt. And yet you just ran across the street on it. The brain perceived that bus as a bigger threat, and it kept you from feeling anything that was happening in your ankle because at the moment, that was much less important. So that's one way your brain sets priorities for what it decides and controls for you to feel or not. Another example might be, have you ever woken up in the morning and found a huge bruise on your arm or your leg, and you think, wow, where did that come from? I certainly should have remembered doing whatever I did to get that bruise, and yet you don't remember. Tissues were injured. Obviously, there's the bruise, but your brain decided it wasn't a big deal, and so it decided not to produce that sensation of feeling pain. So pain is based on what we've heard or we've been told to expect, or maybe what you've personally experienced before. A good example of that is childbirth. A woman's perception of pain is definitely influenced externally. We've all had our moms and our grandmothers telling us, you know, my labor was 18 hours and I had back pain and, you know, it just was really something. And so we've been conditioned here to have pain be a part of the birthing experience. Marie Mongan, who is a birthing expert and author of a book called Hypnobirthing, and I highly recommend this to any woman out there who is pregnant and getting ready to have a baby, whether it's your first or your fifth, doesn't matter. Marie does such a great job of educating women about the birthing process, how your body knows how to do this. We were born to birth babies. But she talks about cultures around the world that might have their babies in the field, hand them off to a midwife, and go back to work. Pain is simply not a big part of birthing their babies. But here in the U.S., it's a billion-dollar industry. So along with those stories that our moms and our grandmothers have loved to tell us over the years about how they suffered to bring us into this world, and I have to admit, I have told those same stories to my daughter, that pain of labor has become this badge of courage and strength. We find ourselves sometimes with other women comparing, oh, you think that was bad? You know, my labor was like this. So you can see where this has become very ingrained. We have learned about pain. Now, I'll give you an interesting story. I was talking recently with a colleague of mine who is a nurse anesthetist, and he's also a hypnotist. And he said, you know, I did my own individual little study as I was anesthetizing patients. He said, I took 300 patients, just 300 in a row, with first of all, he told me that when he uses propofol to anesthetize, and that's a very common procedure, and propofol is the Michael Jackson drug. Everybody knows it as that, but it's very fast acting. But in a small, very small percentage of people, it can create a severe feeling of burning, of uncomfortable. It only lasts for a couple of seconds, and you know, then you're out. But they use it with all patients. So he said with the first 100, he said nothing to them about potentially this happening. With the second 100, he said, you might feel a little warm and toasty feeling. And with the next 100, he said, you're going to feel a burn. So he compiled his results. With the people that he said nothing to, 6% of them reacted to the propofol. With those that he said, you might feel warm and toasty, 11% reacted. And with those that he told were going to feel a burn, 49% of them actually felt that burning sensation. So pain is largely revolving around this idea of what we're told. And when we're told this, especially when we're told this, if we are in a position where we're fearful or we're really severely stressed or we're experiencing some kind of emotion, it has much more impact on us. Because when we are in those states, we are in a light state of trance. And so we are very open to whatever suggestions we hear coming our way. So that new mom who's maybe having that first child finds out, you know, goes, is all excited and tells her mom, for example, that she's pregnant. And mom starts to tell her this horror story. this is a big deal to that woman. She's very emotional. She's very excited. She's very happy. But mom is the expert on birthing a baby, right? Because, hey, I'm here because of you, mom. And so what mom says is really powerful. The same with this nurse anesthetist. This is a person who's going to get ready to put you under for that surgery that you're already afraid of. And so that white coat syndrome comes into play. What that person says, he knows it's his career. He is in a position of authority. So all of these things are very, very influential. And when we are open to suggestion, whether it's something like getting ready for surgery or having a baby or even watching television, I've spoken about this before. When we're watching television, we're very focused, we're in a light state of trance. That's why advertising is so effective. If I'm not really interested in what they're selling, it's not going to have an impact on me. But you know what? If I'm in the market for a new car, or, you know, my hair dryer just died and I need to buy a new one, and there they are advertising it, or that new vacuum, I might be very open to saying, well, you know what? I'm going to look at that vacuum cleaner, or I'm going to look at that car. I hadn't thought about that car before. So pain is no different than that. When we are in a suggestive place, we are in pain. What other people tell us is very influential. I know when I got ready to have my knee surgery, I loved my surgeon. He was amazing. But he said to me, Roberta, I think you're making the right decision here. You're probably going to cuss my name for about 6 months, but this is a good decision. Well, what did he tell me? I might have really severe pain for 6 months, right? I needed to get that out of my head. So I went to my colleague, a hypnotist, and had a session, even though I know better. I'm Roberta Fernandez, a board-certified hypnotist, and we're here talking about pain. And when we come back, we're going to continue this discussion with some more information about how it works in your body. Welcome back. I'm Roberta Fernandez, and this is Minding Your Health. Today, we're helping you take back control by empowering you through education on how pain works in your body. When we left off, we were talking about the power of suggestion and our experience with pain, our brain's perception. I want to talk a little bit more about nerves. Research has shown that people gain better control over managing their pain when they understand how it works in their body. When we understand things more fully, it gives us this sense of control. And because we know that pain is all about perception, this is something that we can control. And that's one of the reasons why hypnosis is so very effective in working with pain management. So let's go back a little bit and talk about nerves, because nerves are the barometer of our lives. Nerves always have electrical current going through them, and this current fluctuates all the time. Nerves contain receptors or sensors for things like stress and temperature and movement. They inform us based on what's needed at the time. So, for example, cold air is coming. We might have more cold sensors start to remind us to put on a sweater. In chronic pain, when we feel chronic pain, the central nervous system becomes more receptive to those danger messages that are being sent from parts of our body up to our brain. The technical term for that is called nociception. So when tissues continually send those danger messages, hey, something's going on here, up to the spinal cord, it opens the door or a gate to send information to the brain. Now, over long periods of time, the system just leaves that gate open. I mean, it's not being closed anyway, so why bother? So more and more information gets sent to the brain. So what happens over time is that even a very light touch might be sent to the brain for interpretation. So your brain gets this high level of activity that's always coming through that gate, and you know, it's always being stimulated, and it's always saying, oh my gosh, there's danger there. I've got to analyze this. So the brain, interestingly enough, produces pain medications that are 50 times more powerful than any kind of prescription drugs that we can take. We have lots of pharmaceutical capacity in our brain. We use morphine, but the brain produces something called endorphins that is very, very effective. So it does this to water down the pain and ease those incoming danger messages. Now, our tissues have the capacity to heal, and depending on the kind of injury that is received, in usually about 3 to 6 months, our body heals itself. So ongoing pain is more due to a sensitive nervous system. That gate just stays open, and we become more sensitive to things that can set it off. Injury and pain are two very different things. You can have an injury and have no pain, like we talked about earlier with that bruise. You injured the tissue, but you didn't feel any pain. You can also have pain with no injury. In fact, 25% of people with pain have never suffered an accident, never had an injury, or never had surgery, and yet they experience real significant pain in their bodies. Emotional pain, things like stress, sadness, anger, loneliness, boredom, inadequacy, when we don't express them and we don't satisfy these emotions in an appropriate way, they manifest in our bodies as pain. And in previous podcasts, we've talked about that, how the subconscious mind has the only way to communicate with the conscious mind is through the body. So when we feel when we have that emotion of, let's say, sadness inside of us, and we don't satisfy that sense of loss over something or someone, it can manifest in the body as actual physical pain. The other thing we need to remember is that when there is pain, there is stress. And during stress, we produce adrenaline. Adrenaline wakes up our nerves and activates sensors, and it takes blood away from tissues, making them more sensitive, making it more difficult for them to heal if there really is an injury there, and it makes them sore. So stress can wake up your nerves, increase pain, and in turn, sends more danger messages to that brain of yours. So a patient who is facing surgery, for example, will likely feel more pain as that surgery gets closer. You might feel more pain as you, let's say you've been injured on the job and bills start to mount up and you have financial stresses at home or pressure at work to come back to work when you're really not able to come back to work. You have family issues that revolve around that. You may have doctors telling you all different kinds of things and you don't know what to believe, and that stress builds and builds and the pain gets much, much worse. So those are the kinds of things that allow us to take a simple injury and have it get much more worse over time. So let's try a little experiment here before we, I think we have time before our next break. For those of you who are not driving in your car, if you're driving, I just want you to listen. For those of you that are home or in your office, just close your eyes. And for a minute, I want you to think about your grandma. Remember her. You know, that favorite outfit she had on, maybe a favorite memory you have of her. Just see her and how you remember her. Smell her perfume, perhaps. See how she moved, how she talked. Did she have an accent? Remember how you miss her. Now open your eyes. All of these areas of your brain just had a grandma meeting. This is your grandma map, and like every grandma map is different, because every grandma is different, right? Every grandma is unique. Your area, your all your areas of the brain, how you saw her, how you heard her, how you smelled her, how you felt her, you created a grandma map in your brain. Well, you also have a pain map in your brain. And the more time the various areas of your brain spend at a pain meeting, the more impacts pain will have in other areas of your life. It will affect how you see things, how you hear things, how you feel things. Because you see, there isn't one particular area of your brain that processes pain. Pain is processed in many areas of your brain. And when this happens, your brain can get confused and concerned, and it will produce pain to protect you and go to that extrasensory area, that extrasensory level, where you're feeling more sensitivity. So when we come back, we're going to pick up talking about this process again, addressing that pain and how it works in your body. And we're still taking calls. So if you have any pain stories you want to share, if you have any questions on the things I've talked about, feel free to call in. When we come back, I'll give you that number again. I'm Roberta Fernandez. Welcome back, everybody. This is Roberta Fernandez, and you're listening to Minding Your Health here on the Progressive Voice of Minnesota, AM 950. And today, we're talking about managing your pain with hypnosis. We can take calls today at 952-946-6205. And for those of you that are interested in what we're talking about today, you can order my book online or get a digital copy of it. So it's really inexpensive to do that, and kind of review a lot of the information that we're talking about today, and obviously more in-depth information. When we left, we were talking about that pain map in your brain. While there isn't one specific area that processes pain and controls it, we do have areas of your brain that help the brain process pain in a certain way. It's called the somatosensory area of your brain. And in that area, all of your body parts have specific areas that are mapped, and some are larger than others. When we use these parts of our body and we keep them healthy, these parts of your brain that relate to those body parts stay crisp and healthy and in focus. When pain starts to prevent movement, I've hurt my arm, I've got it in a sling, these maps get a little blurry and unfocused and difficult for your brain to use well. So let's say before your injury, there was a lot of room for activity. Your nerves were fine and calm. After the injury, there's less room for activity because, oh my gosh, they've been hurt and these neurons are firing off messages left and right to your brain. So this impacts your life a lot, but it doesn't necessarily mean that your injury is getting worse. It just means your nerves are sensitive. And those mapped areas are arranged in a specific area, just like your body parts are in proximity to each other. So in your brain, the area that focuses on your tongue is right next to the jaw, and that's right next to your teeth. Then your lips and your face and your eyes and your thumb and your fingers and your hand and your arms and your shoulders, they're all together. And so it goes with the rest of your body. So let's say that you hurt your hand, and your brain might, you know, detect that something's wrong there, but it's going to go looking because remember, the brain protects our whole body, right? And it starts looking at the wrist or the fingers, and it wakes them up too. And you might feel like, oh my gosh, maybe I hurt more than my wrist. Maybe I hurt my fingers. Maybe I should go in for another x-ray. Well, it doesn't mean that your wrist or your fingers are also injured. It just means that your brain has woken up those nerves and they've become more sensitive. So, how does all of this stuff about pain in your body relate to hypnosis? Well, we've talked a lot about some of these things over our last shows. And if you miss them, especially shows 1 and 2, They're here as a podcast on AM 950 radio. And you can download them also for free on my online store on the FARE, F-A-R-E, hypnosis website. And you can find out what they're about. But I want to review a few things because they're really important to the topic of pain. Remember I said that all hypnosis is self-hypnosis. So what is hypnosis? It's a heightened state of awareness and focus when you're open to suggestions. So when you're in pain, you are already in an alpha trance state of hypnosis, and you're open to those suggestions of pain and what people tell you about them. You're also open to what you say to yourself and what is said to you, and those words you're using to yourself can be very, very influential. When you're saying to yourself, oh, if I move like that, I'm going to hurt, what are you doing? You're giving yourself that suggestion of, I'm going to hurt. So your thoughts become things, and we, remember, have to choose them wisely. So beginning at the very first visit I would have with a client, I focus the client on starting to change their language. No one likes the word pain, but everybody can handle a little discomfort, right? So rather than use a typical pain scale, and your doctor uses this all the time, on a scale of 0 to 10, where is your pain? I ask my clients to start referring to their pain and the pain scale as a scale of comfort and discomfort. So 0 is the most comfortable the client can be, and 10 the most discomfort that they might experience. And I also stress that the client focus on their level of comfort. One of the things that I did when I had my surgery is I gave myself the suggestion that anything that someone would say to me that was harmful to my healing or might interfere with my recovery, that it would be as if they were speaking Greek, that I would hear their words, but they would have no meaning to me. And sure enough, the day of my knee replacement surgery, the nurse comes in to put the IV in my arm, and she's looking at my chart, and she says, "Ooh, a bilateral. Boy, you're brave." Now, in my mind, I could have heard, "or stupid," as finishing her sentence, or I could have heard that as being sarcastic. I could have taken that in many ways, but because I had given myself the suggestion of hearing those kinds of things as Greek, I heard what she said. I'm repeating them to you now. But they didn't hold any meaning to me because ultimately this was just her experience, her opinion. It didn't have to be mine, and I didn't take that suggestion on. We talked in those earlier episodes about why I call my business FARE Hypnosis. FARE, F-A-R-E, is an acronym. The first letter, F, is about focus. What you focus on expands in your life. So if you are constantly focusing on your pain or your level of discomfort, finding those times and those other areas to focus on when you are comfortable, when your pain level, your level of discomfort isn't as high, is very, very important. And when you are feeling discomfort, shifting your focus to something else is very helpful. A is associate. When your thoughts and your images are similar in nature to your focus, your mind begins to connect everything to that focus. So many things become triggers. Sometimes, let's say you have an injury and you have a handicap sticker that your doctor has given you so you don't have to walk very far. You are equating a parking spot can become a trigger. It is associated with pain. If I have to park too far away from that grocery store, I'm going to have pain. I'm not going to be as comfortable when I get in there to walk around and buy my groceries. I must then find the closest spot that I can. Well, that can be a good thing in the short term, but what we know and what we've learned today is that inactivity for a lot of injuries are a negative thing in the long term because it just keeps us it makes us more sensitive. So many things can be associated with your pain that become triggers for that pain itself, because pain, as we're going to talk about, also can become a habit. When we repeat them often enough, the R in fair, and believe it passionately enough, it's going to become the truth in our life. So we have to make sure that we don't get into this belief system of, I am always going to have pain when I do this, or I'm always going to feel this way, because that doesn't necessarily have to become our truth unless we believe it. And of course, the E is expect. We get exactly what we expect we will, because our critical factor is going to filter out anything to the contrary. When our expectations are that we will have pain if we do this, that is exactly what will happen. So we use hypnosis to monitor these things, to find those triggers, to manage our beliefs, and to change them when necessary. Because if we don't and we keep repeating them, pain becomes that habit. I watch for this with my clients, and I listen for triggers and what their expectations are. Because remember, our brain is really complex. We've got 100 billion neurons in our brain, and it has to be efficient. And so if we say, okay, my arm hurts, if I don't move it, I won't feel pain, we set up that expectation, that belief in our brain. And our brain says, oh, guess what? I can avoid feeling that uncomfortable feeling if I just keep my arm still. But if I keep my arm still, it makes that map in my brain get even more blurry, and it makes my nerves get more sensitive. And you can see what's happening here. We get this vicious cycle, and because our brain needs to be efficient, and it does temporarily let us not feel pain, it starts defaulting to that habit. So you can see how by breaking some part of this process can help us break that pain habit. Also in hypnosis, because you can decide how to experience pain, we use your imagination. And we know from our previous shows that what you vividly imagine has been shown scientifically and proven to determine what outcomes you will have in your experience, in your body. Our thoughts become things. Some of you may have been told by your doctor that the pain is in your head, or that it's just in your imagination. Now, there can be some truth to that. As I spoke earlier, pain can be caused by emotion. And what the doctor means by it's in your head is that there's no physical reason for you to be having this pain. But it doesn't mean that it's not real. It doesn't mean that you aren't experiencing pain, because pain is processed in your body in the same way that emotional pain is. So it is still manifesting. So that live with it, when your doctor says, you're just going to have to live with the pain, there's really nothing else I can do for you, your subconscious mind hears that very literally. So what's the alternative to living with it? Dying. And I know that sounds extreme, but that is exactly how your subconscious mind works. So the good news to that, when I have clients come to me that have said, this is what my doctor said, I just simply say to them, well, that was before your doctor knew that we'd be using hypnosis to help you with this problem. Because the good news is that you can use your imagination to turn down the volume of that pain, or to completely get rid of it by using hypnosis. I cannot state enough the importance of the brain not being able to tell the difference between what's real and what's vividly imagined is. When you engage your imagination using as many senses as possible, your brain acts as though it's actually happening, and you choose those thoughts, you choose those sensations. We're going to talk more about this when I come back in our third segment, about how you can use your imagination to start managing your level of comfort. I'm Roberta Fernandez, a board-certified hypnotist, helping remind you that hypnosis can be help you be more productive and reach your potential. Welcome back, everybody, to Minding Your Health, the show where we educate you and empower you through education. Today, we are talking about hypnosis and pain management. And in wrapping up our last session, part of the show, I want to talk a little bit more about imagination, because people say, well, how can I use my imagination? Obviously, in hypnosis is, the best place to do that, because we go right to that subconscious mind where all of your beliefs are stored, all of your truths, all of your rules about your life, and it is home to your imagination and your creativity. But you can do some of these things too through meditation, through mindfulness, through just being quiet with yourself. So what are some of the techniques that I use with my clients? I want to share some of those with you today. Metaphor is really, really powerful, because your subconscious mind will use that metaphor however it needs it. So I use a lot of metaphor with my clients. I might have the client imagine the pain shrinking from the size of a beach ball down to the size of a football maybe, and then a baseball, and then a ping pong ball, so small that you could just put it in your pocket and hardly notice it at all. Or perhaps I might have a client visualize the pain shrinking down to the tiniest object. I might say, if that pain had a shape, what would it look like? If it had a color, what color would it be? Imagine it right there in front of you, and then notice how it moves off and down to the right and a little farther away and farther away. So far, it's almost like you're looking through the wrong end of the binoculars. You can barely see it anymore. Or perhaps I have the client put that pain, that object as they see it, in a box. And we put it up away on a very high shelf where it gets just so dusty and forgotten. We don't even think about it anymore. Literally, there are hundreds and hundreds of metaphors that can be used, and they're really only limited by the power of our imagination. So, for example, I had a client who had headaches every single day for about 5 years. She has some degenerative things happening in her neck, some arthritis, some stenosis, and every single day she had headaches. And sometimes, about once a month, for 2 or 3 days, they would just be debilitating. She couldn't function. The only relief she had gotten was when she went to her doctor, and her doctor basically anesthetized her neck with a shot. And for 24 hours, it's as long as it lasted, she didn't feel anything in her neck, and it was awesome for her because she didn't have pain. She didn't have a headache. So when she came into the office, actually it wasn't my client, it was Linda in my office. It was her client. Linda was creative, and that shot was the only thing that had worked, but that shot was very painful. They gave it to her right in her occipital nerve. So Linda had her imagine that powerful medicine in the tiniest of needles, and like the needle was going into a soft stick of butter or a pillowy cloud. She barely felt it at all, but this medicine was so magic, so magical for her, that she could see that nerve that was so sensitive. It was big and it was blue and swollen, shrinking down, getting lighter and lighter and smaller until it just didn't feel anything. And every day when that client learned self-hypnosis, she would wake up, and for 2 or 3 minutes, that's all it took, she would put herself into this light state of trance, imagine her happy place, giving herself that beautiful, magical medicine, she has no headaches. They flare every once in a while because her condition is there. Hypnosis has not cured her, and it has not made her neck any better physically. Doesn't have the power to do that, but she is learning to manage her pain through hypnosis, and she does it all by herself. and she has no headaches on a day-to-day basis. It's pretty amazing. I also mentioned the importance and power of shifting your focus. So perhaps there was a time when you came home from work and you were really hungry, and you were just like headed for that refrigerator, and just as you were searching the kitchen for something to eat, your phone rings. And it's somebody you really maybe haven't heard from in a while, or it's your kid, and you pick up the phone, and after 2 or 3 minutes on the phone, with your attention totally diverted, you hang up and you forgot why you were hungry. You've even forgotten that you were hungry. So shifting your focus to something other than your pain can accomplish this exact thing. And it only takes a couple minutes of distraction to create a different automated response. Using your happy place, I mentioned earlier, is another way of shifting focus and taking back control over your pain. When you're in that place, whether it's on the golf course or it's at some little cottage out in the middle of nowhere or at the cabin in the lake, nothing bothers you there and nothing disturbs you. And everything is completely comfortable and relaxing. Some clients have so much pain, they might tell me they don't have a happy place, but everybody does. I just ask them to imagine what a happy place might be like if this place did exist. And it's amazing how even those clients who have suffered for years and years and years with severe chronic pain can still find that place because they create it in their mind. And in hypnosis, you can create any place in great detail. In fact, the more detail, the better, because this place is a safe place where only comfort is experienced. And once you realize that this is possible, it is. And of course, as we talked about, I believe in our second show, the technique that I used to manage my level of comfort after my knee surgery is your breath. I taught all of you, my listening audience, the 5-4-3-2-1 relax technique, a specific way of breathing. And if you don't remember it, go back to that AM 950 podcast. Go on my online store. You can download that technique free from my online store. And whether it is your level of comfort, your level of stress, this will definitely help you take back control over whatever it is that you're feeling. It will help you shift your focus and concentrate on something that is much more powerful and much more productive for you. So I want to remind our listeners that next week, one of the reasons why I'm focusing on pain so much is that it affects a third of the people in this country. A third, 100 million people have chronic pain. So we're going to be talking with the folks at Hazelden and with the Steve Rumler Hope Foundation about opioid addiction, about the problem, the huge challenge, the epidemic, in fact, that this is in our country. So make sure that you join us. Oh, excuse me. That's the week after. Next week, I've got three clients talking about their pain experiences. I was ahead of myself there. They're going to tell their own stories from their own perspective, why they came to see me and how hypnosis has helped them. I'm Roberta Fernandez, a board-certified hypnotist. Here at Minding Your Health, the show that addresses ordinary problems and concerns that impact ordinary people and your mental and physical health. You can reach me at fairhypnosis.com. That's F-A-R-E, hypnosis.com. I want to wish myself a happy birthday and remind you to have a mindful week.